All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, happy to be speaking to an individual who has a fight going down at BFL 71, transpiring on February the 17th. We have Jonathan Broad and Mike McAloon getting out there and testing skills, and very happy to be talking to Mike ahead of this one. How's your day going so far, man?
Day's going pretty good, you know, just it's pretty much it's a recovery day, active rest day, so it's like, basically now it's just, you know, depending on how my body feels, you know, do a foam rolling, meal prep, you know, just recovery, and then hit it hard for another 6 days next week.
Yeah, you talk about, like, the foam rolling and the meal prep and stuff like that, and that sort of segues into my first question here, because your last fight was a featherweight clash there, and Tapology listing this one as a lightweight bout there. So can you kind of offer some clarification on that? Are you switching up the weight category a little bit for this one?
Oh yeah, I'm moving up the lightweight, and I ain't going back. You know, I'm just not going back, man. I'm getting older now, and just to be honest, man, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. You know, I'm smarter than that, and I shouldn't be doing what I've been doing in the last two, maybe even three camps to make the weight. It's like I said, I'm smarter than that, and I know that, you know, it's just you get to a point where it's just beyond, you don't recover, you know, and you hope you recover the best you can, but you're just like, okay, like, man, like, this, you're fighting twice, you know, you're fighting with a scale, and then once you finish that fist fight and you finally get the numbers you want to get, 12 hours later to 24 hours later, you're fighting another grown man who's really pissed off that you want to punch him in the face. So, you know what I mean? It's just juice is not worth the squeeze, man. Like, I'm going to go out there, like, I'm battling with now some of the top people in Canada, you know, and it's, I got to tighten it up. And to do so, I got to fight at lightweight. And it's not unfamiliar for me. I fought at lightweight twice, both times the King of the Cage, and I came away with the win. So, I'm pretty confident walking around this weight. And I'm very confident, or sorry, I was pretty confident back then walking around with this weight, and I'm very confident now walking around with this weight, and, like, I love meal prep, I love recovery days. Like, before I did, like, we did an interview back in, like, mid-September, maybe early September, right before the fight, and I said, you gotta love the process, and it's like, at that point, I was even lying to you and myself on that one, because at that point, I just wasn't enjoying the process. The recovery days were more recovery, and you know, just finding a way to fine-tune my calories less to be productive so I can still lose a bit of weight to make the weight. It just too much getting up the calculator, the food scale, to even be worth telling myself that I'm going to be 100% to fight another grown man. This isn't tennis. This isn't bowling. And this isn't bodybuilding. You know, you need to maintain a certain amount of fluid and in your body and your brain and clarity, and I feel that I've woken up from a sick nightmare, and now I get to fight at the weight that I probably should have been fighting at for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and you can allocate that energy towards just, you know, learning technique. Like, obviously you were doing that previously, but it becomes more of a, you know, dynamic whereby you're not, like, fighting the scale, and
it gets harder to retain, right? It's like the information doesn't retain the same, because, you know, you're walking in partially cloudy, you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, there's no sunny days, you know, you have breaks of sun, but at that point, like, your energy's so low, and you're like, you're just dragging yourself to the next workout, listening to motivate, you know, just driving through it, you know. It's like, I didn't like the way I looked, didn't like the way I cut weight, didn't like the way I looked after the weight cut, I didn't, definitely didn't like how I felt, and, you know, like, and again, that's not to take away from, again, Nick's performance. You know, he checked off more professional boxes he did on that night, and that's what gave him the W. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, right? But that's just the way it is. It's the way the ball bounces. Now I just know what boxes I need to check, and I'm checking every single box off 6 days a week. And then on that second week, I'm making a new list of boxes to check off for those 6 days. So I'm leaving no one stone unturned, no pancake unflipped.
There you go. I was going to say, maybe no patty unflipped. I think the last time we were talking, it was like after a fight, or one of the last times at least, and I think you were ripping through some McDoubles a little bit. So, yeah, I like the description. But yeah, that last fight, I mean, you were touching on that a bit, and even though not in the binary of, winning, losing, the desired outcome within that, but so many great lessons that can be taken from it. And it seems like you've done that on like a technique level, lifestyle level, but also I imagine being in a co-main event bout on a UFC Fight Pass broadcasted card also adds a certain level of something to it, like familiarity with the bright lights, as it were.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I still, like, to this day, I still miss the fans very, very much. You know, I feel like that needs to be said in every interview that any fighter ever does. Yeah, you know, it is what it is, and I'm actually, you know, I like, I've kind of getting used to this, like, COVID energy, and I don't like it. Like, I like it, but I can't wait for it to be over, because, like, I'm just done, man. Like, Dylan, like, I'm sure a lot of us are. We're frustrated in very, very different ways. But, you know, come February 17th, I get to take my frustration out on another grown man, and he gets to try and do the same. You know, we're gonna meet in the middle, and our frustrations will show come February 17th.
Yeah, I mean, it's a curious thing too, because there will be certain stretches where it's like, okay, yeah, we can have fans back here. Like, I mean, I was at that BTC event circa November there in St. Catharines, and there's fans in attendance and everything like that. And then a couple weeks, few weeks thereafter, it gets protracted back, and just so many different varying instances of that from province to province. So, yeah, I imagine it's a hugely confusing, frustrating thing for fighters.
Everyone moves the line, you know what I mean? I think, yeah, I mean, I've never been to Alberta, but I think, I think Unified and Alberta and the way they got the shows going is it just makes sense. I mean, like, we all tuned in to Saturday. We all just watched Francis and Gane. Let's all not pretend that there wasn't 15,000 people surrounded next to each other. It just makes zero sense for, like, you know what I mean? I get to pay $60, $70 to watch what I'm gonna want to do at a world level, and you know what I mean? I watch everyone, all the crowds around. Like, I could go to a UFC event if I wanted to, you know, and do all the due diligence and do all that and sit in a crowd of 50,000 people. I could do that, but I can't support my local teammate and buy a ticket to his St. Catharines card or his London, Ontario card or his Vancouver, BC card or his Kelowna, BC card. I don't know. It just seems a little weird to me.
Yeah, and especially too, like you mentioned, yeah, I mean, talking like Unified, I mean, and where BFL is at too, I mean, not really that far away realistically. I mean, like a province or so over, so just, yeah, shows how arbitrary.
Teammates who've drove in there, so it can't be that far.
Yeah.
It can't be that far. And the amount of Albertans that come from Ontario or from there to Kelowna and the interior in the summer, it can't be that far. Like, what are we talking about here? You know, it's just a little funny. You know what I mean? I just hope, like I said, like now, I just hope people are now starting to understand that, like, to ask questions. I think that's the thing that happened. Like, everyone failed to ask questions. They were just, myself included, we got drawn in on variants, and we got drawn in on all these things. But then we got these restrictions, but we didn't really ask anything, any questions about any restrictions. But again, I'm done with COVID. I'm looking forward to February 17th. You know, I don't care I don't care if they build a tent, you know, and put a cage in it. I don't care at this point. You know, like I said, I'm frustrated. The world's frustrated. I'm sure he's frustrated. And, you know, pictures say a thousand words. I'm looking to paint you guys a beautiful picture on February 17th.
I'm kind of wondering, like, whereabouts you're stationed for this one. Like, I've known you to train at Tushido MMA in BC, but also have been in the Ontario area on and off. Like, whereabouts are you ahead of this February fight?
I'm BC.
Getting in that good Tushido work, Michael Hill.
I'm sitting at the high table with all the big Tushido boys. Like, we're good. Like, I think me and Tushido, we're here to stay. I like Dave Lee. I hope Dave Lee likes me, because that's one dude you don't want to get pissed off at.
Sure.
And then yeah, I don't see myself. You know, like, Ontario's still a mess, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
still a match. You know, so it's like, why? Again, we like, you know, the conversation, the interview started with the juice ain't worth the squeeze, and that's what I'm just gonna relate that back to. The juice just ain't worth the squeeze, man. Like, I'm gonna be here and getting better, feeling like I'm getting better every single day. And the day I'm not, someone else is taking advantage of me not doing, being on my best day and getting better. So I'm helping and I'm learning. So no off days. Because if you're off, someone's gonna be on.
I think
that's just like, that's the Shido principle. Pain on every beat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to phrase it for sure. And it's curious, he also phrased like the whole juice isn't worth the squeeze context in a couple of regards, because it seems like you're such a sponge for information in a lot of regards, like even beyond the, I guess, application of technique. Like a guy like David Lee has been there for just so many iconic events, like first UFC in Canada. Like, he's played an integral role as like a trainer, promoter, etc. So I imagine like the historical lineage related contexts are something you're really taking in and learning from a fair bit too.
Yeah, see, the analogy that I try and put together, and it made me kind of like really, really appreciate, you know, the coaching style of Dave Lee is most coaches have different colors. You know what I mean? You go to different camps. You know, it's like, we got these colors. This is teal, green, blue, yada, yada, et cetera. You go to the other camp, et cetera, different colors. But Dave, not only does he present with a vast knowledge of colors, but he gives you different style of brushes. So now it's like, now it's just, you can put even a different texture, if that makes sense, on your style. You know, you almost come into yourself. There's an aura that Dave just presents, and you just feel it, you know. And you either like go into that sort of energy, or you shy away from it, and you do one or two things. And that's the one thing I like about Dave, is like Dave gives you colors and he gives you brushes. You know, you can it's pressure. Right, if you put this much pressure on this brush, you get this result. You put this much pressure on this brush, you get this result. And those little subtle brushes of pressure that he gives you, it makes everything tighter.
Yeah, and it's cool to look at it through that lens of artistic expression and stuff like that, because there's so many different, I guess, perceptual types that exist in MMA. Like, a lot of people are oriented to like just the pure fighter brawler kind of capacity. Some are like the competition oriented kind of mindset. Some are very oriented to the like artistic style of expression. Like, do you notice like that kind of influences what you're doing in a lot of regards, just being able to look at it through that like creative kind of lens and everything like that? Cause yeah, definitely expressive way to look at it.
I don't know, to be honest, I don't know. I really don't paint. I don't really paint much anymore. But I used to paint when I, to be honest, I used to be paint. I used to paint a lot with my grandmother growing up. So it's like we used to paint like birdhouses and stuff. So it's like,
oh cool.
And you know, different grains and stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I just maybe that's where I got the analogy from and like things. But I don't know. As an artistic guy, I try and break it down as simple as I can process it, and then once I process it, because even the whole reason I'm breaking something down is because I can't process it. And then when that time comes, I stick the analogy to it, and I just seem to retain it a lot better that way. The information, the style, the mindset, the understanding. If I pin it to some sort of other attachment in the world, it just, I don't know, it just helps.
Yeah, for sure.
An analogy, a movie, like I said, a painting, a poster, etc.
And I'm curious as to, like, I guess what you're looking at for your opponent here in terms of the, I guess, tape study. Is that more something that like David Lee and some of the other guys at Toshido are going through, or have you been checking out some of Jonathan Broad's previous efforts?
We all go through it, right? You know what I mean? He's got two fights, you know, like I was, and you know what I mean? Like he's got two fights and I was present in the back for both of them. So, you know, the nice thing is like, you know, I kind of, and the same thing, like vice versa. He was there present for both of mine. So we kind of get a sense of each other. The only thing he doesn't have a sense of, and I get that aspect, is the element of surprise, is being well more energized and not fogged out, and not I feel great coming in at 155, and I feel stupid every day. I wake up and look myself in the mirror and was just like, man, you made 45 like 6 months ago. And I mean, it's just like, and I know, like, and when I wake up in the morning, I test my scale, and I'm on point for 55. It's like, how or why? Why would you ever do this to yourself? And yeah, I don't know. I just know now, like, I'm good. Like, I put in six days a week, and I still got 4 weeks to go. And, you know, that means I got 24 training sessions. You know, take six away for the sweat week and the travel time. I got 18. So I got 18 double days down to go. And, yeah, then you'll see February 17th.
Yeah, I'm sure you're noticing, like, a tangible sense of energy. And you talk about, like, the mental clarity and stuff like that in this camp. So, yeah, that is a decent advantage to have, because you've seen him compete in a weight category that's going to be consistent with what this upcoming fight kind of has him in there. But, I mean, you're showing an altogether new permutation of yourself there. So I imagine that excites you. And like I said, probably been a compounding thing throughout the camp, just it being such a dynamic where you consistently have that extra like reservoir of energy kind of deal.
Yeah. Yes. It's definitely like, again, I don't like to use the like words enlightening, but yeah, it's definitely been enlightening, where it's just like, yeah, you know, again, it is what it is. The past is the past. You know, I can only stand on the block.
And is it
down this river?
Yeah, and is it largely like the switch in weight category just informed by just your own perception of your biochemistry, what you're feeling in your body? Were there other, like, maybe outside examples, like, say, oh yeah, like Dustin Poirier used to fight a featherweight, like, just as a random example, you know what I mean? Like, oh, so-and-so was in this weight category, moved up, seemed to pay dividends. Like, was it more of a localized thing in the sense of your own biochemistry, or did you maybe draw inspirations from maybe some other fighters to switch weight category?
No, like, to be honest, it's a mistake. You know, my mistake were enough, man, because, like, I'm not Dustin Poirier, I'm not Charles Oliveira, I'm not Conor McGregor, I'm me, and I'm going to continue being me. The only way I'm not going to be me is when I self-destruct and make, and again, fight twice. Like, why should I have to fight a scale and then fight another grown man? It doesn't make sense. You know, it's like bodybuilders fight scales. You're not a bodybuilder. Stop this shit. You know, so it's like, it's one of those things, I don't know, man, you just wake up. You wake up, and it's like, you know, like, and again, don't get me wrong, like, I'm still going to look shredded on that scale. You know, 54 is never going to look so good. But I'm, you know, but I'm telling you, like, February 17th, like, I'm going to be energized, and I'm going to be confident, and, yeah, I'm coming in to win. And I know, like, everyone says that, but I'm telling you, Dylan, I'm coming in a brand new me, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, well, I'm getting that sense talking to you for sure, man. But I want to be mindful of your time and the rest of your schedule. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, man. Just keep doing you, buddy. I like you, Dylan. You know, you're one of the few interviewers that, you know, like I said, you come ready with your questions. You come sharp. You come, you know, like, you do good. You know, I remember Night of Champions. That was very long ago.
Yeah.
You know, it was our first interaction.